The following is a paid program. Gold Coast Broadcasting is not responsible for its content.
We're News Talk 1590 KVTA Ventura.
MSPS receives additional compensation for his participation during this paid program.
It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Each week at this time, professionals in the field of divorce give you valuable information and answer your questions. The number to call is 805-650-1590, 805-650-1590. Tom will take your call. We'll take your calls on any aspect of divorce. And this week, Lisa will focus on gray divorce, ending a marriage after 50. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
We also have a return guest, Dr. Gita Bhatia, a psychologist in private practice who serves as a divorce coach for collaborative divorce teams and co-mediates for the team mediation process. She's also an adjunct professor at Pepperdine University. Welcome back, Dr. Bhatia.
Hi.
Jerry Cohen, our regular guest and divorce financial wizard, rounds out our team of experts. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Colin.
So if you're over 50 and going through a divorce, or maybe your parents are splitting up, give us a call on 805-650-1590, 805-650-1590. Our experts will also take any other divorce-related calls. You can also email us at lisa@divorcetalkradioventura.com. Lisa, L-I-S-A, @divorcetalkradioventura.com. Check us out on Facebook as well, Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. Divorce, of course, is a very serious topic, so let's lighten the mood a little. Lisa, have you heard of the new divorced Barbie doll?
No.
You haven't?
Humor me, Colin. Come on. I know you're going to.
She comes with all of Ken's stuff.
Very Lisa, good, Colin.
Lisa, even though the national divorce rate has dropped in recent years, the divorce rate among baby boomers has nearly doubled, according to a recent study. Why is the media focusing on gray divorce?
Okay, Colin, you'll have to indulge me now. I got your humor. First of all, welcome, KVTA listeners. Before I get started today, I just wanted to congratulate Jon Bon Jovi for last night rocking the L.A. Staples Center. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. And thank you to Kumi for the backstage tour. The reason that social media seems to be focusing on this gray divorce revolution for the over 50 crowd or the baby boomers is because their marriages seem to be falling apart. They're failing at greater rates than they had in prior to the 90s, and the rate's nearly doubling. So the reality is harsh for anyone facing a gray divorce, whether they're celebrities or average Joes. And I'm hoping that today all of our panelists can talk about, in more detail, the financial, legal, and emotional issues facing baby boomers, including even getting back into the dating world.
What information is available about trends for gray divorce, Lisa?
So recently there's been an updated study in March 2013, and credit goes to the National Center for Family and Marriage Research at Bowling Green State University. The center's research seems to show that the divorce rate among adults, like you said, Colin, ages 50 and older, have doubled between 1990 and 2010. So that means that roughly one in four divorces in 2010 occurred for people ages 50 and older. And the rate of divorce was 2.5 times higher for those who are remarried in remarriages, obviously, than first-time marriages. So the divorce rate nationally may have declined, but for baby boomers, it seems to be increasing tremendously.
Now, we mentioned the media's attention on gray divorce. And of course, it helps, or doesn't help, as the case may be, some of Hollywood's gray divorce couples, including Danny DeVito. I can think of some, Robin Williams, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you have any knowledge or experience with any of the Hollywood types who are getting divorced, the gray divorce?
Not any specific experience with them, but I've seen those trends as well. And so I've also been reading about those when I've done some of my own research. And noticed some of the same celebrity divorce statistics related to, like, Al Gore, Mel Gibson, some of the celebrities that you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Why is the research that you've been talking about, research on gray divorce, important to us and to our listeners?
Well, the research is especially significant because half the married population is now older than 50, so we have a lot of baby boomers. I'm actually seeing more gray divorce in my practice as well. And many of my private mediations happen to be gray divorcees. So I think it's significant. In my experience, many of them tend to communicate civilly, but there tends to be a trend recently to get more of these couples.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. This week, we're focusing on the gray divorce area. Call us on 805-650-1590. Our email address, if you'd like to send an email right now, we're able to access the emails that you send us. Lisa, L-I-S-A, at divorcetalkradioventura.com. Lisa at divorcetalkradioventura.com. Also, check us out on Facebook at Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Dr. Bhatia, what are the challenges for people experiencing gray divorce?
Well, being in the dating world after having been in a long-term relationship can be very challenging. People above age 50 tend to have been in marriages that have been long-term marriages. So their experience with going out in the world and date may be before the social media and all of these new forms of dating, internet dating, and all of those things came into vogue. So it's a lot to learn. Also, when you've been in a long-term relationship and then that ends, it is a big blow to your self-esteem. And people start to wonder about their worth and their value in the world, and feeling isolated and alone. So it can be a very challenging thing, even if the person who initiates the divorce and has been very dissatisfied with the marriage comes back into the reality of being alone. It can be very hard.
Jerry, I believe the secret to successful investing for retirement is to keep your first wife. How true is that? But some of the common financial issues that baby boomers encounter during their divorce, what are they?
Yeah, the baby boomers, the gray divorce, it's kind of interesting, and I'm glad we're talking about this topic because they're kind of focused on having to deal with what anyone else going through a divorce does, financially, emotionally, the legal issues. But they're also, by definition, getting closer to retirement, which is another, you know, very big event in someone's life. And we're trying to focus on both of them at the same time while they're losing assets rather than gaining assets and dividing property. So although some have to be dealt with at any age group, you know, how to divide a retirement plan or who gets the retirement plan may be a lot more important when someone's reaching the retirement age than someone in their 20s or 30s or 40s. Also, budgeting, which may not, again, be as important while both parties are working and having a stream of income they anticipate for a long time, that they're having to face in maybe a short number of years, having to meet their expenses without their income coming in, and now will support whoever's paying it or receiving it be enough to cover their expenses. So we spend a little more time on some of the budgeting issues and trying to look ahead the best we can when we're dealing with a couple, for both of them, facing that.
Lisa, any sense of why there is an increase in gray divorces?
Yes. Since people are living longer, generally due to more active and healthier lifestyles, lifespan is extended. And so that's one of the explanations I've heard. And also, I saw a Freakonomics article, an online piece suggesting that there is an upside to gray divorce, which is the increased divorce trend for gray divorce, is that people are healthier at older ages. So you have to look at the benefits as well as the negatives. Also, in terms of, you know, folks starting to think about freedom, some want more freedom as they get older now that the children are out of the house. So that's another sort of explanation for why the increase. Or they may wonder, you know, what is it like to have a fresh new relationship? And so some want more self-identity. You know, they may have some newfound financial freedom. They may be in the workforce recently and feeling like they have enough financial identity and self-worth to move on and to try again.
And I would add that a lot of times people stay together for the sake of their children, And when the children leave to go to college, they decide that they can now pursue their own freedom, as you were talking about, and that, you know, they have a lot of years ahead. It used to be that when you reach your 50s or 60s, you thought, you know, that's you're done with the major part of your life. But now that we have, you know, people living longer and in a very healthy way, they're, you know, looking at another 20, 30 years of being in that marriage that they weren't so happy with. So that is partly one of the reasons that people are starting to initiate divorce at a later age.
Jerry?
Yeah, I'd like to add that too. Geetu and Lisa brought up some, you know, each mentioned about as we're living longer. And again, that plays into the support and do I have enough to live on? We're having to approach this a little differently. Some couples in a long-term marriage at retirement age may be living longer than their working years. And it is a challenge, as I said, to divide the property and have enough income. And I see that commonly with those in, you know, the gray divorce area, that they're very concerned with that, and sometimes it gets in the way of, you know, really focusing on what their needs are.
If you have any questions on any divorce-related issue, whether it's what we're talking about today or any other issue, please call 805-650-1590. The advice given by our panel is not intended as legal or other professional advice. For that, you need to set up a private consultation with a reputable professional. You're listening to Divorce, Lisa Zonderstyle, AM 1590 KVTA. We're on the air each Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. If you have any question or for any one of our guests on any aspect of divorce, please call 805-650-1590. The email address is Lisa, L-I-S-A, at divorcetalkradioventura.com. And we have an email here from George. He says, I am dating a woman who has recently been divorced, but she constantly refers to her ex, regardless of what we discuss. Shall I just move on, asks George, or give her time to stop referring to her ex? Who wants to tackle that one?
Well, I'll give it a try. It sounds like George is not happy about the focus being on somebody else, and I think rightfully so. It might be that this person hasn't taken the time to heal from the divorce and the relationship in the past, and is bringing in her baggage from this past relationship. So as a psychologist, I would recommend that she does go and seek counseling for herself to be able to put that in the past and understand her own self, and, you know, what may have been her contribution in the marriage not working out, rather than finding blame in the other person. Usually, I think we all would agree that when a marriage doesn't work out, there's some responsibility each person shares. So it is really important for people to take the time to understand what it is that they went through and what they want in the future. And the more they have understood that, they can go into a dating relationship without carrying all their baggage to the next relationship.
Lisa, are men or women more likely to initiate the divorce?
Right. I've looked at this to get some answers. I've done some research, and the studies seem to reveal that most divorce among the over 50 crowd, they're initiated by women.
Why do you
think
that's
the case? Two-thirds of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, here's a shocker, Colin. Women, apparently, according to the research I've read, don't tolerate mediocrity in their relationships.
Oh,
how's that
okay.
for an explanation? Yeah. Everybody, all the women in the room are cheering this. I found a New York Times article by Sam Roberts from September 2013, and he quoted a Professor Kuntz on the topic of gray divorce, who said, another big factor is that with their increased work experience and greater sense of their own possibilities, they are less willing to just wait it out. We expect to find equality, intimacy, friendship, fun, and even passion right into what people used to see as the twilight years. It takes work. It's not something you can put on the back burner while you raise your kids, for example, and think it won't scorch somewhere along the way.
Dr. Bhatia, you were talking about relationships and new relationships. I have a question for you. What are some of the dating challenges that face older adults?
Well, there are quite a few of them. I think realistically, there aren't a lot of opportunities to meet people as you get older. Your social circle has been formed and you're, you know, in a work situation that's pretty steady. So unlike younger people who have opportunities of meeting, you know, people in other contexts, in college and, you know, work situations, new work situations and traveling, it may be more limited for older adults to meet people, and therefore using something like internet dating is a way of expanding your social reach of, you know, meeting
yes.
people.
Yes, there are sites dedicated to older divorcees.
Exactly, and then that's a, you know, it's the trend is responding to the divorce, great divorce trend. But I think it's also challenging for older adults in that they, we live in an ageist society. So even though we may be a certain age, a lot of men and women want to date someone much younger than them. So it reduces the pool of people that you can
mm-hmm.
date.
Yes.
So that's one other challenge.
Now, it's interesting that it's called gray divorce now. You're referring to people over the age of 50. But what about people who are in their 30s like me? I've got some gray hair.
Sorry, we didn't mean to laugh.
No, that's okay. Jerry, back to you. Just a financial question. What is the most important financial issue that should be addressed at the beginning of the process?
I strongly believe that the most important issues is to start by defining your goals and objectives on the financial side. A lot of individuals come into the process, well, I need this and I want that and I have to have this much each month, and they probably do, but I try to help them focus more on looking forward, you know, how much you need to live on, what is your budget going to be, how long do you plan to work, particularly with the demographic we're talking about. So it's more of taking a step back and looking at a long-term view, and then we could help form their goals and objectives and try to build that into the mm-hmm. Settlement agreement when both are pushing for something that I need this, I need that, that may not even be in their best interest. So again, I try to focus back on, let's look at your long-term financial picture and what could we do today to help you get there.
Please call 805-650-1590 if you have a question about your divorce. Our regular panelists are Lisa Zonder, a divorce lawyer out of Westlake Village, and Jerry Cohen, a divorce CPA, and our special guest today is Dr. Geetu Bhatia, a psychologist who serves as a coach for collaborative divorces. As a legal professional, Lisa, when you get a gray divorcee consultation, where do you start your client interview?
Well, Colin, usually I listen, like I always do, to my client's story first, and I check whether marriage counseling would help. I know you've heard me say that before. And then I ask whether they have a prenuptial or a postmarital agreement, because if there is a private agreement between the parties, that usually would address how property would be divided or whether there's going to be alimony, and if so, how much. If there is no prenup, then I would cover all topics that I normally cover in a client interview, but I would also add to it some specific inquiries around some of the topics we're discussing today, like the concerns around Social Security, the health of the client, health insurance, life insurance, and long-term disability insurance. I want to share with you, Colin, just something practical, because I've had a lot of clients in this vein come to my office, especially more so recently. I had a particularly sad case with a client in his 80s, and he and his wife, they'd been married roughly 40 years, and wife was exhibiting some paranoid behavior. She was accusing husband of stealing money out of her bank accounts. It was really quite something with a marriage that had been, you know, over 40 years in duration. So I worked really closely with the other lawyer in this particular case. And, you know, we exchanged all of the financial documents, the bank account statements, and all the money had been accounted for. And we realized quickly that something was indeed wrong or amiss with the wife. And so wife's counsel directed her to seek proper medical care. And counsel and I worked together so that we had a joint consult with a Medi-Cal and estate planning attorney, because it was really important for both lawyers that we focus on the needs of the family. All of the possibilities had to be explored for this couple. And also in these types of cases, it's really difficult when the adult children want to get involved. Sometimes they even take sides, you know, one takes the side of mother, one takes the side of father, and so on. And so you see like a lot of splintering in the families around some of these legal issues. But one thing I would say is I can only imagine how much worse this case would have been had counsel and I not worked together. It would have added so much more emotional distress for the families, not just the husband and wife, but for the children, adult children as well. And I mean the legal expense. So I'm glad that I was able to have an opposing counsel where we could work together as a team to try and troubleshoot and fix and address some of the issues and help this couple appropriately instead of just, you know, having a bloodbath. Yes. And can you imagine taking, you know, a couple like that in their 80s to trial and what it would be like to have them waltzed into the courthouse, you know, and their physical and mental conditions, et cetera. I mean, it just would have been a real tragedy. So I'm glad we were able to work through that.
We're discussing gray divorces today on Divorce Lisa Sonderstyle. If you have any questions, please feel free to call 805-650-1590. 805-650-1590.
So, Colin, I just wanted to, for us to talk about the fact that we're calling it a gray divorce, but
yes,
it may look very different for someone who's in their early 50s versus the clients that Lisa was describing about in their 80s. So some of them may have young children still at home. Others may have some adult children and some younger children still. So the looking at this as a gray divorce, I think we need to make some distinctions of how we approach each of these families and their particular context. I'm aware of a lot of adult children who tend to now take on the parenting responsibility of their parents. And it can be a very confusing time in terms of everyone's emotions. You react differently when it's your parents, but if you're parenting your parent, then you have a
yes,
very different sense of what that divorce means.
I'm going to come back to you on the effect on the children when it comes to gray divorces, but we have this for you.
Are you contemplating divorce? Maybe you've already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process, or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next. Well, we have the answer for you. The Second Saturday Divorce Workshop. Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from experts who have guided others through divorce. Workshops are held at 2625 Townsgate Road, Suite 330, Westlake Village, on the second Saturday of each month from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810, or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. Call 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810. If you're looking for workshop locations other than Westlake Village, check out the website at wife.org. That's wife.org.
Speaking of which, the second Saturday, San Diego, we have some callers on the line, Lisa. Who are they?
Hi, are you there, Janita?
Yes, this is Janita Wall.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa, this is Candace Barr.
Hi, we have Janita Wall and Candace Barr, and they were the original founding members of Second Saturday San Diego. How are you both today?
Welcome
we're
to the show.
We're doing fine. We just got back from Second Saturday.
Oh, excellent, as did we.
Yes.
You have a Second Saturday team sitting here at the station as well.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
So would you like to talk about your experiences with Second Saturday, how they help those who attend those seminars?
Sure. We'd be more than happy to tell you about it. In San Diego, we've been doing Second Saturday for 25 years. We have just celebrated our 25th anniversary. We've had over 9,000 women go through the program, and now some men as well. And we've been able to raise over $250,000 that we've been able to give back for scholarships for women in various charities. So we are happy to say it's a wonderful, virtuous circle, and we're so glad that there are now programs available in Westlake.
That's fantastic. What is the situation here in Westlake, Lisa? How successful or popular are these seminars?
Well, we just started doing them a few months ago, Colin, and what we're finding is we've increased our attendance. We've got at least 8 participants on a regular basis. Today was a little bit smaller, and we have our workshops on Townsgate Road in Westlake Village, and they usually last about 2.5 hours, and we have not even been charging, so we've been doing them for free. At least we can plan to continue doing that until the end of the year. But I would love for Janita and Candace to talk a little bit about WIFE.org and the charity and what Second Saturday does for WIFE.org.
Thank you. This is Candace speaking right now. Well, what we found is that without a doubt, every time we do a Second Saturday, and Lisa, I'm sure I know that you've participated down here for many, many years before starting your program up there. So many people talk to us about, I wish I knew. I wish I knew more when I was going through my divorce, or thank God you're here for me now. And that really is the whole purpose behind Second Saturday, is to help people through that process of divorce. They know what they're getting out of, but often they don't know what they're getting into.
Yeah, the Second Saturday really helps people. About half the people who come are just at the beginning stages, haven't really filed for divorce. Maybe they're really just exploring the idea, and the other half are someplace in the process, usually more toward the beginning, because that's the best time to get information. If you wait until you're at the end to get the information, you've already made a bunch of mistakes, and that's not where you want to be. Unfortunately, we have been there for 25 years. That's a good thing, but unfortunately, we have seen people coming through for their second divorce.
What are some of the challenges that you face with these courses?
So many people think that getting a divorce is about only the legal, but the legal is the process of untying the knot. Truthfully, most of divorce issues are about the financial and the psychological issues. And so we cover all three of those aspects to help people understand what that process is. Our purpose at Second Saturday, and I know, Lisa, you're doing the same thing up in Westlake, is not to take the place of the professionals in their life, but it's really to assist the people to understand what the process is, because, of course, we all know that if they get into the process and they don't know what they need to have to effectively go through, that can be a very, very, very expensive process. And so we want to help them be as efficient as they possibly can as they anticipate or go through that divorce.
Yep, and just to add, Lisa, it's wonderful that you're able to do yours for free as you build a following there in Westlake for the program, which is new to your area. We've been doing it here, as Candace said, we're in our 25th year. The charge here is $45, but that's still for 3.5, 4.5 hours of education. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what you would pay an attorney to see them just for an hour.
Does your session come with tea and biscuits?
No. Frankly, nobody's really interested in eating at that point.
I'm sure not. Where does the consumer find locations where Second Saturday is offered?
It's on the website at secondsaturday.com, all spelled out. And there we have a list. We have the brochure for the one in San Diego. And then on the right side of the page, we have a list of the other locations that are around the country. There's about 42 of them.
We also have a very robust online group. We have a Facebook online, and if you look for it, and it is a closed group. So if you look at Second Saturday on Facebook, what we've done is created a community to help those people who aren't near where Lisa is or where we are to get answers to some of the questions that they have as they are contemplating or going through divorce.
There's also a lot of information on the website and at WIFE.org, which the Second Saturday page is a part of that. But on WIFE.org, just click on divorce, and you'll see numerous articles there. we are in the process of building that out to make it a much more robust Second Saturday online web page to provide much more information than we have been able to in the past.
While we have you on the line, would you have any tips for those going through a gray divorce?
Well, one of the things that you need to take into account when you're going through a gray divorce is, and a gray divorce is people who are basically 55 or older, if you're younger, you've got more time to build up retirement assets that you lose. Because let's face it, when you go through divorce, at best, you're only going to end up with half of what you had before. So you really can't retire on half the pension. Many people can't. So now they're going to be working a bit longer. They're going to be living on much less. What you have to do is, first of all, know that going in. Secondly, be willing to work a bit longer or to work part-time in divorce. And to be willing to scale down your lifestyle, not to be so tied into all of the retirement, not into into the home, for example. A lot of people want to keep the family home. It's where the kids grew up. Maybe in divorce, you're not really going to be able to do that.
Dr. Bhatia, while we have everybody on the line and in the studio here, question for you. How should someone take care of themselves towards the end of this?
Yeah. One big issue in divorce is Social Security, and that's often in the news. Social Security in divorce means that you are going to be getting retirement benefits that are, if you haven't been the working spouse, retirement benefits that are based on your spouse's history, and your benefits will just be half of what your spouse gets.
Jerry,
so that's an issue.
Jerry, do you have a comment on the Social Security aspect of that?
Yeah, I agree. That's a question that many individuals are concerned with, and it helps when we explain that, and it gives them a little more confidence that they'll have something coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity of being at the Second Saturday today, and what was really great was that it is an opportunity for people to bring their other partner with them so that they can both hear the same information rather than be on opposite sides on this. They're hearing neutral professionals educate them to what to expect in divorce and what to expect from each of the professionals. And, you know, there's a lot of good information so that they can both hear it at the same time.
Yeah, it's important for people to be on the same page so that it's not they're dealing with different information because divorce is not what they call a case of first impression. Everything has been decided many times before, and most marriages fit squarely into the property division aspects of divorce, squarely into the support aspects. There's a few little nuances, but most of those fit right in. One of the big issues has been medical insurance. And so for people who are approaching Medicare age, sometimes what we do is we have a suspended divorce where they go through all the settlements. They even file the papers with the court, but you have an end date that's after the spouse has turned 65 so that they will be able to get onto Medicare and won't be covered with having to pay for their own health insurance in the meantime, and all of our old COBRA coverage and so forth.
What are you doing, or what can you do to get more men to come to your courses?
We have, in San Diego, we started a divorce workshop for men. The original program that we started 25 years ago was called What Women Need to Know About Divorce, but always there would be a couple of brave men in the audience who wanted the information. So we have now started one for men that's in its third year, and we put the word out there. Men are harder to get to come to a function than women are, because women are used to gathering in groups to talk about personal issues. Men are far more private. Men tend not to communicate with each other around very emotional topics like divorce. And even in the breaks in the men's session, the women are all gathered in groups talking to each other. The men are turned away from each other, and each one is on their cell phone.
Janita and Candace, thank you so much for joining us today on the Lisa Zonder Show. We really appreciate it.
It was our pleasure.
But I do have one more question for you before you hang up, please. What are the top concerns for gray divorcees?
Taking the house versus taking retirement, understanding again that if you take the house, that may in fact inhibit your standard of living in just a very few years. Understanding how Social Security works and being clear on that, knowing that you are entitled to a derivative benefit in Social Security and it does not impact your husband in any way. Also, really working together, you may have adult children or you may have grandchildren in a gray divorce, because now, again, we're talking about people who are divorcing and are 55-plus and may have been married for 20 or 30 years. And the importance of being able to get along, perhaps being together at family functions, at weddings, that can be a major issue, but it's so important for the well-being of your family. And then I think, again, the health care issue. Social Security and health care at age 65, but also we do now have the Affordable Care Act. If you're divorcing and you're age 60, you can look at coveredca.com, and that is the California website to help people understand what the cost of their health care may be. They're not required any longer. So many relationships, so many marriages stayed together simply because they needed to get the health care coverage, and they don't have to do that any longer. So that's one of the benefits.
Well, thank you very much indeed. We really appreciate your contribution today.
Thank you, Candace. Thank you, Janita.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style, broadcast each week, 3 to 4 p.m. on AM 1590 KVTA. Call 805-650-1590 if you have a question about your divorce, any kind of question that you may have. We have a panel of experts in the studio every Saturday at this time. Our regular panelists are Lisa Zonder, divorce lawyer out of Westlake Village, Jerry Cohn, a divorce CPA, and our special guest today is Dr. Geetu Bhatia, a psychologist who serves as a coach for collaborative divorces. Lisa, a question for you, but I have to tell you about one divorce court judge said, because this is pertaining to my next question. Mr. Smith, I have reviewed the case very carefully, the divorce court judge said, and I've decided to give your wife $275 a week. That's very fair, Your Honor, the husband said, and every now and then I'll try and send her a few dollars myself. How does...
Colin, I did not put enough disclaimers on the show when I started. I'll invent some new ones for you.
There are obviously a lot of other legal concerns, but spousal support is one of them. How does it affect the gray divorcees?
Well, I wanted to go back just for a minute because I think before we get to the topic of spousal support, and I think that's a good question, Candace and Janita had raised some topics that I wanted to explore in just a bit more detail. So when we were talking about the top concerns for gray divorcees, we talked a little bit about health insurance. So I wanted to say that if either spouse has a medical condition, they may need coverage, which is something I think Candace suggested, until they're eligible for the Medicare benefits. One option that we as lawyers sometimes will counsel our clients about is that they can agree to a legal separation rather than a divorce. And that's something that they hadn't talked about. So I just wanted to add that in there. Also, but I would point out one thing about that. Sometimes insurers won't cover separated spouses, and some actually require you to report if there's been a separation or a divorce event. So you have to check carefully with your HR in your particular employer's situation and see what their definitions are, because you don't want to have to pay the insurance company back, obviously, for any, you know, expenses that they covered that shouldn't have been covered. So one thing you could do, and I think Candace and Janita referred to this, is you can postpone terminating the marital status, which means that you won't be free to remarry. So your divorce won't be entered right away, but you can do that until you're Medicare eligible. So that's another option. And then there was reference made to the Affordable Care Act. And so I'm no expert in that at all. I don't know many people who are yet, but that may be a game changer for divorced people. And so that is something that, you know, if you're a divorced person and you you're pounding the pavement and don't know how you're going to get medical insurance, you might check the online resources that are available now. You also might have a post-divorce short-term COBRA coverage, which sometimes lasts for 36 months, and that could be under your ex-spouse's plan. And just to point out a couple things that I've learned in my own life in terms of trying to cover getting health insurance coverage, the private insurance market, I'm told, for some people may actually be more affordable. You know, we may, when you talk to your clients, if you're an attorney or if you are a client, you know, keep in mind that you shouldn't limit yourself to the government exchange. There may be ways through the private insurance market to get your client on insurance.
Jerry, where would someone go to get help with divorce financial issues?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I hear many times that, well, I'll talk to my CPA or I'll talk to my financial planner. And that's important. But divorce is a very specific area, and as you're our listeners and you're hearing, that there's a lot of different components to it. And I think it's important when you're going through a divorce to hire the professionals that meet the needs you're concerned with. There's certainly legal issues in every divorce. There's financial issues and child issues. And the financial issues should be addressed by a financial expert that deals with divorce, either full-time or a good part of their practice. I've been a CPA for a number of years, and the first several years I just strictly did more traditional CPA work. And when I started to get into this line of work, I realized how much I didn't know about it. And like other colleagues that do this, forensic accountants and certified divorce financial analysts, we take a lot of training. You have to have some knowledge about the family law code. It's not making us an attorney, and I can't give legal advice, but you have to understand some of the financial issues work much differently in divorce than they do in a tax return, or they may do in a different financial situation. So it's very important to hire someone that specializes in the financial issues of divorce.
What are some of the help that you do, in fact, give when it comes to giving professional financial professional advice?
Yeah, we start out by focusing on their financial goals and objectives and needs for the family. Even if I'm only working with one of the couple, it's helpful to understand what both their needs are on the financial side. And we try to focus on the family's financial needs, goals, and objectives, and then build the process through that, blending it in with the legal and other issues that have to be addressed. I mentioned budgeting earlier in the show. Some couples need more of that than others, but even if the budget means they have a whole lot of money to budget, it's still important to find out how that's going to be allocated. One of the issues that's missed more often than not, and I think it should be addressed every divorce, are some of the tax issues. There's a lot of ways that you could divide property, and there's a lot of options on how to address the financial outcome in your settlement agreement, and the taxes aren't always addressed. And once it's over, it's kind of difficult to change something once you've caused something to be taxable that may not have been, or you wanted to allocate the tax between the two parties so it's a little more even. So addressing all those issues during the process while the attorneys are involved and the other professionals that could help us form a plan that incorporates all the tax financial issues is helpful.
If you have a question for any one of our guests on any divorce-related issue, please call 805-650-1590. We're on for another 15 minutes or so, 805-650-1590. Or you can send us an email, Lisa, L-I-S-A, at Divorce Talk Radio Ventura. One word, divorcetalkradioventura.com. And we do have an email here, and this comes from Mark. I'm an older man who has been divorced for 2 years, but my adult children don't want me to date or have a girlfriend. How do I get them to allow me to lead my life and really enjoy the next 20 to 30 odd years?
Well, that sounds really tough. I think that it is important to understand why your children are resisting you having a happier life and being able to pursue your own social life. So I would say first try to understand what is it that they're feeling so concerned about. There may be an emotional reason that they're afraid that they'll lose you in some way to another relationship. They may have loyalty conflict between you and their mom, and you know, and some hope of you both getting back together. Even at a later age, it's not unusual for adult children to hold that hope. Or there could be financial reasons that they may think that you may be, you know, easy target to be taken advantage of. So I think it's really important maybe even to think about going to family therapy to understand each other's positions and concerns. And you should be able to pursue happiness for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that brings me to another subject that I think was brought up by Candace and Janitha in terms of their experience with groups and how men and women act differently. Women tend to be socialized, and this is, again, generalities, but it holds true often, is women are socialized to take care of people and be the caretakers. And the reason they may be initiating a gray divorce maybe because they weren't burnt out on taking care of others, and they want to, you know, have some freedom from that. And men, often after a divorce, may feel alone and isolate themselves and not feel like they can talk to anyone about what their feelings are, and jump into a new relationship without having dealt with their old stuff. So I think it's really important for both men and women to find out what they're likely to, you know, step into after having gone through the years of experience in the previous relationships. And by the way, second marriages have a higher rate of divorce than first marriages, and that's true because
for older people or for across the board?
In general, but also older people. I think the statistics that, you know, Lisa was quoting show that the rate of divorce second time around at an older age is much higher.
Why is that? What is the
reason?
Well,
if you've gone through a divorce once before, then you're likely to know that that is an option. If things don't work out. So that could be one of and we can speculate on many of those.
Mm-hmm.
They're really theories, but there's just, in first marriages, there's a 50% chance of marriage ending in divorce, and second marriages, it's almost like 65%.
Wow, that's very high, mm-hmm. isn't it? You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on AM 1590 KVTA, 805-650-1590. That's the number to call right now, 805-650-1590. Another 10 minutes or so before we hang up for this week. I have a question for you now, Lisa. There are other legal concerns about spousal support for gray divorcees. What are some of them?
Yes, Colin, you had asked me that earlier, and
yes.
I meant to get to that. So the alimony or spousal support can be of primary importance in gray divorce. It's treated the same way as any other ordinary divorce in terms of the family code. So the 4320 factors apply, and just to be, you know, simplistic about it, they're treated the same way. Essentially, the judge is going to have to weigh a variety of factors, including the ages of the parties, the health of the parties, the ability to earn and earning capacity, so forth. But cases are idiosyncratic, as you've heard me say before, and so it'd be fact specific. It really depends on this particular case. Child custody and support, child support issues are less likely to be prevalent in the gray marriages, because usually the children in those cases have already grown.
I would imagine that division of retirement accounts is another top legal concern for gray divorcees.
Yeah, that's something that Janita and Candace and Jerry had all touched on to some extent. And I think the concern there for gray divorcees is the couple not being readily able to rebuild retirement accounts, because soon they're going to be retired, or they may already be retired at the time of the divorce. So in some instances, you know, you're going to have a lower wage earner looking to get compensated through spousal support or alimony, and you know, you'll have different circumstances in different cases. So this may be true. So even if you have both clients retired, and the retiree is in pay status, you may have a spousal support obligation. Even so, some people think that the spousal support ends when someone becomes of retirement age, but that's not necessarily the case.
We have another email here. This is for you, Jerry. We have three separate retirement accounts that have to be divided as part of our settlement. What are the costs and time involved to change the legal ownership, and how much tax, income tax, will we have to pay?
Yeah, there's two issues here, the cost of doing it and the income tax. Generally, anytime you withdraw money from a retirement account, and it's different, there's different tax structures for different periods of time and how long you've had it, but there is some tax component to it. The other is, in general, if you're through a divorce, just transferring retirement assets from one spouse to the other, the transfer itself doesn't cause a tax. But what gets overlooked sometimes is that a dollar in a retirement account is not the same as a dollar in a savings account. So if someone's trading off a savings account for a retirement account, they could do that, but they should be aware that the one getting the retirement account is eventually going to pay tax, while the one getting the savings account may not have to pay any tax. So we try to, when we can, factor in what the potential tax is, particularly if there's a large retirement account or a number of retirement accounts, that at least make both parties aware that there is the tax component, and they may want to structure a settlement that's taking that into consideration. As far as the costs are involved, that depends on the type of retirement plan. An IRA, a little different than 401ks and pension plans. An IRA, there is really no direct cost on just transferring it. The attorneys draft the language in the settlement agreement that allows the retirement account to be either split or transferred from one to the other. When the other type of retirement accounts I mentioned, such as 401ks or pensions, you're required to have a QUADRO, short for a Qualified Domestic Relation Order. And that is a separate legal document aside from the settlement agreement. And typically, one attorney that specializes or understands the both the tax and the legal aspects of transferring that. So that's another document, another cost. So if you can divide retirement accounts with no QUADROs or less QUADROs, it may be better. Someone with a number of retirement plans, it's usually best financially to try to each get a full retirement account and not pay for several QUADROs, and maybe you could do it with one.
Sharon is Lisa's paralegal. You have a question for Jerry, Sharon?
Actually, I do. A lot of our clients, the women, if they're getting spousal support, sometimes they don't realize the spousal support is actually taxable and deductible to the husband who is paying. So I think that's an important issue for you to address with them and in their budget terms as well.
Yes, that's an excellent point. That is an important point. And it is, if no one does anything differently, when you receive spousal support, it's taxable, and when you pay it, you get to deduct it. We can't change that. That's in the tax code. But part of the strategy, and again, both legal and financial aspects of it, we may have some options on how that's structured. So maybe they could share the tax in some ways, or structure support if there's some flexibility in that to maybe balance the tax out a little more, or shift other assets or do something else for that. There's many legal aspects to that also. So I'm just talking from a financial side, but it's also, you should really consult with, get some financial advice and legal advice before you start trying to change the nature of support.
That's a good point. What is your website address, or how would listeners get in touch with you, Jerry?
My website address is cdfplanning.com, and feel free to call. I'm happy to answer questions if anyone has any.
What is your number?
My phone number is 818-706-2998.
One final question. I think we have time for a couple of minutes for you, Dr. Bhatia. Is it important to review why the marriage ended?
Well, I made some reference to this earlier today. I think our relationships are our best teachers. We really do need to understand ourselves through our relationships. And also, there are pretty clear theories that our brain, we learn most from our mistakes. So our brain grows when we make a mistake, and then we learn about, what happened. So before going into a new relationship, it is really important for people to take stock of what happened and how they may have contributed in the relationship not working out so that they can flourish and go to new relationships in a fresh way.
How do they do that?
Well, there are lots of therapeutic lifestyle changes people can make that are really valuable. They seem very simple, like feeding yourself, exercising, and connecting with nature, meditating. There's a whole lot of things that people can do to enhance their sense of well-being that they may not have really paid attention to when they were in a relationship that wasn't working out. So hopefully this will be a way for people to enhance their lives as they move forward.
And on that subject of reinventing yourself, as it were, in your experience, have you had a lot of people who've done that successfully?
Yes, I think that really when people come into therapy, they're already looking to make their lives happier and better and change their relationships for the better. So when people come in with that intent, they often come away with having grown. So I think it's a two-way process where the desire to change is a big part of really changing.
Well, that's just about it for this edition of Divorce Talk, Lisa Zonderstyl. Thanks very much to our special guest, Dr. Geetu Bhatia. You've been here before, and I'm sure you'll come again. We really value your input. Our regular panel, Jerry Cohen. Thanks again, Jerry.
Thank you, Colin.
And Lisa Zonder. Thank you very much indeed, Lisa. Our topic next week is stress and divorce. That's got to be a really big thing in people's lives, right?
Yes, and we look forward to having Jennifer Burton and Elaine Miller-Karras with us from the Trauma Resource Institute, and I hope to speak with them soon.
Well, that's it from me, Colin Flaxman. Until next week at the same time, the show is Divorce, Lisa Zonderstyl.
Tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Divorce, Lisa Zonderstyl.
This radio programming is not intended to encourage anyone to seek a divorce. The producers assume that callers are seeking basic information. The radio program is intended to be an informational format and does not constitute legal advice. Anyone with legal, mental health, financial, or other professional questions is directed to retain a competent professional after carefully interviewing qualified professionals. A guest appearance by a particular panelist does not constitute a specific recommendation by the producers as to the expertise of that professional, nor does that panelist's views necessarily reflect the views of the producer.
Here coming from your radio is not a mistake.
Weird.